ever thought of radically changing your career? From courtroom to the creamery. We're joined by three brave individuals who dramatically changed their careers and ask, is it for the better? And do they have any advice for those who are thinking of giving it all to follow their dream job? Delighted to be joined now by Stuart Purcell. He's the head of collectibles at White's Auctioneers here in Dublin. Helen Cahill is a cheesemaker and former solicitor. And Michael Keane is a former glass cutter who's now a photographer. So all three of my guests have started with very different careers. I'm going to start with you, Stuart Purcell, and ask you to tell me a little bit about yourself.
Morning, Bobby. I was born in Arklow, grew up there, was sent to school in Newtown in Waterford, where I tested the patience of the poor Quakers down there.
That's right.
And played a bit of rugby against Kilkenny College, didn't win that often. Left school, I'd have to say, didn't have much of a clue what to do with myself.
Right.
You know, it was one of those situations where I just hadn't made any kind of decision. I really didn't know.
So would you have drifted a bit in the early days?
Absolutely.
From one thing to the next?
Yeah.
Okay.
There were manual jobs. There were, you know, lots of service industry jobs. I ended up working in tourism.
Yeah.
And it was just as tourism was kicking off in Ireland, really kicking off. And it was around the late 80s, just after the Euros. And there was a real sense of positivity about that. And I decided, looked at that industry at the time and had the sense to have a go at it, and got a job as a tour guide working around Ireland. And that developed into a tour guide of working around Britain and Ireland, and
Right.
ended up working with a firm in the UK who were covering the two islands with American tourists. And I really, really enjoyed that. But it was only 6 months of the year. It was away for 6 months, home for 6 months.
Yeah.
It was hard going in many ways while you were working, but it was kind of difficult then to find anything stable in the off season, so it wasn't an ideal job.
Now, you ended up as the marketing manager for Planet Hollywood, again, that famous restaurant on Stephen's Green. What was that like?
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of those great jobs that kind of I landed into it. Do you know, I'd been working in Kinnity Castle in County Offaly as a sales manager in there. And which had, you know, it stemmed from my time in tourism and got offered the job and ended up suddenly working for meeting Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone one evening and opening this huge restaurant. And it was a fantastic job.
Now, you then moved across the other side of the green and decided that you wanted to get involved in antiques. So you moved over to, I think you started on your own first, but ultimately you ended up in White's on the green.
Yeah, well, I mean, originally, I suppose I always knew the restaurant business wasn't for me. Do you know?
Which even though you were in it probably 20
I was in
years.
It and I'd probably a job that was the envy of the industry in some cases. But nonetheless, you know, I was waking up in the mornings in one January and deciding I didn't really want to go to work. You know, I had that feeling that I just didn't want to do it. So I was walking around the green one lunchtime and I walked past the sale room on the green and I went, that's what I want to do.
Right.
I just looked in the window and went, that's what I want to do.
Okay, well, hold it there because I want to just bring in our other two guests. I want to bring in Helen Cahill now. Helen, tell us your story. You're a cheesemaker and a former solicitor. How does one go from law to making cheese?
You know, it's not the dramatic change that it sounds on paper, Bobby. Cahill's Cheese is a speciality cheese business based in Newcastle West. And my parents started the business in 1981 on our farm. And I was born in 1982. So as you can imagine, I grew up immersed. You know, it was very much an extension of our kitchen. And we were the Cahill's Cheese Cahill's. So it was very much who I was growing up. And
so you had that type of fusion between business and family life, really.
Absolutely.
Where it was all one.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. Anyone working on the cheese at lunchtime had lunch with us, and the telephone for my home was the telephone for Cahill's Cheese.
Yeah.
So, you know, there really was that blurred line. But I, growing up, I had a very clear career path in mind, and I wanted to be a solicitor, and I worked toward that goal, and I studied in Galway and achieved my LLB and went on to get an apprenticeship with the wonderful firm of solicitors in Limerick, Harrison O'Dowd.
Okay.
And spent five very happy years there and got a wonderful training from them. They were excellent, really excellent quality solicitors. And as a result of that, I really have a great backing
Well, that's one of the things about your career choice, in that as a solicitor, you've learned a lot of stuff that really is relevant to your business. So leases and whatever else, legal, you know, that's stuff that you still encounter. You use your skills that you've developed as a solicitor in your business today.
Absolutely. You know, as a solicitor, you're very client focused. In my current position, I'm very customer focused. You know, you're crowning the customer, you're keeping your customer at the forefront of your mind at all times. You know, you work with integrity and quality as a solicitor, and it's the same, you know, in our business in the cheese.
Now, not only have you made a radical career change, but your husband was a vet who became a solicitor. Explain that to me. A lot of change going on in this household.
Yeah, that's true. Well, listen, I'd have to let him speak for himself, but I'm very lucky that he made the change, because I met him in Harris, no doubt. So it was my good luck that he made that change.
And hopefully he doesn't get to practice much as a vet, but he's a solicitor.
Well, David is farming also, so he...
keeps his hand in, as they say.
Yes.
Right, I want to bring in our third guest now, because... he's Michael Keane, and he's a former glass blower and glass cutter from Waterford Glass, and he's now a photographer. Michael, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Now, tell us your story.
Oh, it was like I went into Waterford Crystal after getting quite a good leaving cert in 1979, where there was over 4,000 people working in the industry. And I went straight in. I was telling the lads earlier on outside that my father was a public servant. He had me dressed up in a three-piece suit going into a blowing room where it was 1,800 degrees. Within 2 minutes, I was fucking sweating and whatever. Like, you know, but I ended up there 22
years.
Was
it your father's view that you needed to turn up dressed properly
first day? Well, he always wanted me as a public servant, so I had other ideas. I wanted to work within the arts, and I always wanted to work. I wanted to be a cabinet maker for years, and always wanted to work with my hands, because of a lot of uncles that do that kind of work as well.
Right.
So spent 5 years apprenticeship, 5 years to become a master blower, and then another 5 years to become a master stemware, making the stems. And it was a very, very good industry to work for. Like, and interesting, because you had all these tourists coming in from America and Japan, and I was working on the tourist trail, so it was...
And you would have been really there, Michael, in the good days when you were well paid.
Yeah,
it was a good job. It was probably an envious job.
And it was a pensionable job as well.
Absolutely.
Like, you know. So I left about 8 years before they actually closed the factory, because my job was actually gone.
Right.
They had a machine to do my job, and they were starting to outsource product in as well at that stage. So I had a small business going, a landscape garden design, before I left. So I went into that full time. So
right.
Couple of life changes happened in between there, which caused me to go to Dublin to continue on a career in landscape garden design. And then we'll say the economy took a dip. I noticed that people weren't having they hadn't got the finances to do their gardens and stuff. So I got into the bed one night. I said, I'd do a list of what I wanted to do. And the first one was driving instructor.
Yeah.
I'd be a very patient person. And the second one was photography. I always loved the idea of photography, but I hadn't got. So I got up the next morning, into town, Dublin, bought a camera, went home, took it out of the box and said, what do I do with this? I thought depth of field was how far I could dig down with a shovel. That's basically where I was coming from with photography. I had no concept. So I went in and did beginners.
That's interesting that you would actually make such a radical decision, not having even tipped around with photographs.
No, nothing.
Or
nothing. So
wow, okay.
So I did one night a week beginner's photography, how to turn on a camera, basically took it from there. I had a very good mentor, Tom Fox and Michael Harris, who was the teacher on the beginner course. So went on there, and I got to the stage where I needed to make a decision. I was getting bits of landscaping jobs in. I was doing a bit of photography, so I needed to make...
So you went for it.
So I went for the photography, went back to college in Waterford for full time.
Okay, now one thing that's very evident about the three of you is that everybody actually re-educated themselves.
Yes.
So just to talk about that for a second, Stuart, you did a course in fine variation of art, or valuation of art, from Southampton University. Michael, you did a photography course. In terms of the solicitor piece to the working in the family business, I, as I say, you already had your qualification. But can I ask you, Stuart, about the importance of actually re-educating yourself? In other words...
It was essential for me.
Okay, even around your own confidence, I'd suggest.
Well, yeah, because I mean, even though I'd grown up with antiques in the home, and with my parents, my mother was an antique dealer, so I kind of had that outside view of the business.
Yeah.
But when I went to study fine art valuation in Southampton, it was a distance learning course. but over 4 years, an honours degree. And I mean, we started with how to handle a piece of porcelain when you're given it, you know, and took it from there. And we studied economics, and we studied, but we studied the items we would end up valuing in depth, and we did it in a very structured way. And it left me in a situation where you could put virtually anything into my hand, and I would have a framework within which to value that.
Okay. And interesting enough as well, in your case, when you move to the new career that you've decided to do, you have to start at the very bottom.
That's
like,
right.
So, you know, and I think people need to maybe realize that out there, that if you're making a radical change where you don't have the experience, okay, you've gone and re-educated yourself, but you need to be prepared, do you not, to start at the bottom. And in your case, you did that.
I certainly did. I started a 3-day week as a porter in a sale room in Blackrock.
Yeah.
Lugging around antique wardrobes. But I ended up the sale room manager in that sale room, you know, within a short time, and was there for 7 years.
Yeah.
So, and that took me right the way through my degree experience. So by the end of it, I was valuing the paintings that were coming through the door, valuing the porcelain, valuing the swords, valuing the clocks, valuing the, you know, so, and seeing them right the way through the
process. Again, you were just building up your experience along the way.
And it's an industry which you just can't walk into and expect to know.
Yeah.
You know, you have to handle this stuff.
Helen, can I ask you about maybe putting it to you that you never really left the cheese business, in the sense that while you trained as a solicitor and you worked for that firm in Limerick for 5 years, then you came back to Newcastle West, you were kind of helping out all the time in the family business. So there was that connect there that you were never too far from it, even though you were a practicing solicitor.
Yes, absolutely. Following on from your last question, I did, when I went home full time and really gave my heart to it fully, I did do several, I have done several courses in sales and marketing and wine tasting and different things that will assist me, you know, with the cheese. But I never left Cahill's Cheese, you know, sure, Helen Cahill, what else would I be doing on my weekends but markets and fairs? And
I also need to thank you for the wonderful cheese hamper that you brought me in here, which I'll be tucking into
here,
later.
And
Michael, to thank you for the wonderful photograph, an absolutely stunning photograph that you brought into us here. So I thank you both for that as we speak.
So
talk to me, Michael. Can I ask you about the transition bit? You know, about, we talked about the re-education.
Yeah.
You went and...
Yeah, went on to do a Bachelor of Arts.
But that
degree,
bit of actually getting started, that bit of, you've opened the box, you've learned how the camera works.
Yeah. So
now you have to set up a business. And somebody who came from being, you know, I suppose, a relatively secure environment of employment, you know, you got a paycheck every week. Now you're in a scenario where you've got to make your own paycheck. Did you find that transition difficult?
I spent 6 years in college on back to education loans. Right, and social welfare are great like that. You know, if you're straight up and you do your work every time, and you know you go into them, and you explain what you're doing. To go on to that, I came out of college in DIT after getting a Bachelor of Arts Honours degree in 2014, and I said rather than sitting down waiting for something to happen, I decided to go on a jobs bridge scheme, which I found a wonderful experience because I was up at 6:30 every morning.
Yeah,
back in the workforce, getting €50 a week more on top of your job seekers. It was a great help.
But as Stuart said there, it's about, you know, you do have to start at the bottom. You do have to
work
up your experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have to be prepared to roll your sleeves up.
Well, 8 weeks ago, I opened up a new centre in Ashbourne County Meath. It's a new training. I teach photography there. I have studios. I have dark rooms.
Right.
Where we do our own printing. But that wouldn't have come about if I wasn't on Jaws Bridge, because I met a guy on Jaws Bridge who bought into the company. I was working for a medical supplies company in the warehouse.
Wow.
So he funded the setup. He funded the startup business.
Just shows, doesn't it?
As a loan, but it's an interest-free loan. But he saw something in me that was great. Right place.
And just before we go, Helen, tell our listeners out there about, you know, what would you say to somebody who's maybe thinking of changing tack, who's unhappy in their current job? You know, what is your advice to somebody who's unhappy?
Well, my advice is, you know what, Bobby, I'm no one to dispense advice, but
when I was starting
off, Fergal Quinn gave me advice, and A, crown your customer, keep your customer at the forefront of your mind, as I said earlier to you. B, value your staff. Like, we have a wonderful, hardworking, dedicated team in Cahill's Cheese, so we're really lucky with them. And three, be innovative. Work hard at your product, you know.
Well, listen, I want to thank all three of you for coming in. Thank you all for sharing your stories with us, your brave stories,
and for making
that bold decision to change career midstream. Well done to you all, and thanks very much.
Thanks.